You don't have to show me hands, but how many of you here have just had one of those days sometime or another? It just seems so frustrating. You've gotten out of bed in the morning, or even before you went to bed at night, you had your list in your mind of things that you wanted to do. You looked at the schedule, you looked at the weather forecast, and you knew what it was you were going to do the next day. You get out of bed in the morning, you're all ready to go, you scurry around, get yourself ready, you start on your way, and maybe sometimes you don't even get on your way and something interrupts you. The phone rings, a knock on the door, something happens, somebody's sick in your family and you need to stay with them, things like that. Or maybe you get started on your day and halfway through the day, your day starts getting rearranged, interrupted, your plans get interrupted, and you're so frustrated. Lord, this day isn't going like I planned. Lord, help this day to go like I planned. We get so frustrated by this. I've had many of those days in my life where I just finally got to the point where I realized I might as well just crinkle up my little list and throw it aside and just go about hour by hour and sometimes minute by minute, because I realize God has a better plan for me and a different direction to go in that day. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because last week we were talking about living according to the fleshly desires or living in accordance with the Spirit, as Paul wrote in to the Romans, that those who are followers of Christ live according to the Spirit, in accordance with the desires of the Spirit. Those that are unbelievers live according to the fleshly desires. And, you know, it's simply a burden and a struggle to do the will of God, isn't it? It's a burden and it's a struggle on our fleshly lives, because we have this battle going on between what we want to do and what God wants us to do. If you belong to Christ, the Spirit lives in you, Paul said, and you live according to the Spirit, as the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are His and that we belong to Him. And in this way, we are able to please God by doing that which is holy and pleasing in His sight. We are given the ability through the Holy Spirit dwelling inside us as believers to please God and do His will. But it seems at times it's such a burden knowing what God wants me to do, because the things of God are spiritually discerned. In other words, when God speaks to us or tries to direct us, God is spirit. We're living in this fleshly body. And to understand His language sometimes, to discern, we call this, what He's saying, we have to start thinking spiritually, allowing the Holy Spirit in our mind to give us the proper direction and the understanding of what God wants us to do. We call this spiritually discerned. And sometimes it's hard to understand what God wants us to do because we're thinking in fleshly terms rather than spiritual terms. Paul told the Corinthians, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned." A lot of times God's speaking to us loud and clear. It's right there in front of us and we think, this is crazy. This is nonsense. This is foolishness that I should do this. See, we need to start thinking in spiritual terms what God has in mind for us. And the key is having our mind set on what the Spirit desires. Having our mind set on what the Spirit desires. When God speaks to us, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. This spiritual communication starts taking place and we begin to discern God's will. It begins with, as the King James Version puts it, being spiritually minded. We have to start thinking spiritually. That's why Paul told the Romans in chapter 12 that we needed to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, because then and only then will we be able to test and approve what God's will is. Our minds have to be transformed. We have to stop for a second and think spiritually, and just stop and keep our mouths and our minds shut and listen to what God might be saying to us, how the Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit. And we say, well, how does God know what God wants them to do? It's hard, isn't it? Being a follower of Jesus Christ is a journey. And believers are sheep following a shepherd on this journey. And as we go along on our journey, there are signs along the way that guide us. Spiritual signs. The sad part is Christians have a hard time figuring out those signs. And in fact, sometimes we can't figure them out, so we discard them as nonsense, rather than trying to diligently search out what God's trying to say to us. And in some ways, we become like the Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 16, whom Jesus shamed because they could tell the weather by the signs. They look at the sky and they say, oh yeah, it's going to rain tomorrow, or it's going to be a nice day tomorrow. But they couldn't interpret the signs of the times right in front of them in the form of God in the flesh. God was right there in the flesh in Jesus Christ standing before them, and Jesus said, shame on you people. You can interpret the weather by the signs in the sky, but here's the sign right in front of you. Fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies about the coming Messiah. And you can't interpret that. I'd be lying if I told you that discerning the will of God is easy. Sometimes it's easier than others. But overall, it takes some figuring out as human beings. And as our minds are transformed and renewed, our minds start to think in spiritual terms, and we grow spiritually, and we learn spiritually, and we start to think in terms of how God wants us to think. And it takes some figuring out to discern the will of God. It's a process of putting the pieces together until we say, aha, that's what God wants me to do. That's what God wants me to do. I remember a few years ago when I was offered my first appointment out near Clearfield. I was called by the district superintendent, and they had an appointment for me, and I was so excited. And they wanted me to go see the parsonage and the churches. So our family did. We traveled out there 2.5 hours away and saw the churches and saw the parsonage, and there was a weird feeling inside me. The farther we went, my stomach just didn't feel right. The longer the day went on, even being in the churches, I just was not at peace inside me. And on the way back home, I said to my wife, I don't feel God calling me to this place. But as time went on, it just so happens that our kids were at an age where they were watching a lot of programs on PBS, the Public Broadcast Network, on WVIA, Channel 44 it was at the time. And incidentally, that station came into our home from a transmitter in Clearfield, Pennsylvania. And I can remember, as if it was yesterday, as I was milling this over days later after we had traveled out there, praying about it. God, is this where you want me to be? There in one of the commercials, as I stood there in the living room just watching the TV with a blank stare, came on WVIA, proud to serve all of Clearfield County. And there was a statue, a memorial, war memorial, of a soldier that's right now in downtown Clearfield, Pennsylvania. And I ended up driving by many, many times as we spent 4.5 years there, because I knew in an instant, God was saying, I want you here. And again, God is the God of second chances. I was told the DS would not contact me again after I told them I didn't feel God calling me there. My answer was no, but the phone rang a couple days later. And we were invited to go, and praise God that we listened and saw the many blessings there that God had for us. While we were there, another incident happened. I sold my old Ford F-150 pickup truck that was kind of ratty at that point. And I was praying about what car God would want me to have. Now, I know this might seem a little bit insignificant to some of you, but in every instance, we should turn to God for providence. I prayed, what car do you want me to have, God? What do you want me to buy? And one day during my prayer time, I saw a green car at a car dealership near Dubois. I didn't know what it was. I didn't have any idea what the situation was. but I knew I was to go to this car dealership and there would be a green car there. So about a week later, my daughter and I drove there, and incidentally there was a green car, and I'm driving that car today. I sat there in the parking lot of this car dealership. It was a car that had been purchased by a quote-unquote little old lady. Was maintained very timely, still smelled like brand new inside, and I knew when I sat in it was the car that God wanted me to have. In a lot of these cases, God speaks to us day in and day out. We just need to listen to Him. And most importantly, I want to remind you that everything has to be wrapped in prayer. We have to be speaking to God. No matter where we are driving down the road, we can say, God, I just don't understand. I need you to show me so that I can understand and that I can do your will. And though our text today doesn't have a particular principle to follow, it teaches us about an example of this kind of thing. In the book of Acts, as Paul was going on his missionary journeys, he had gone on his first journey up into this region of Cilicia and Pisidia. And he had come back home to Jerusalem where they had a council meeting. And Paul ended up back in Antioch at the time. Sometimes later, about a year and a half after he had returned back from the first missionary trip, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and let's go visit these churches that we were to and these churches that we planted and see how they're doing. Well, at that point, if you know the story, Barnabas wanted to take John Mark, but Paul didn't want to. So Barnabas took John Mark and they went off to the island of Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches that they had been to and set up. When they came to Derbe and then to Lystra, they found a man by the name of Timothy. They took Timothy and they went on up in headed for Asia, which is now modern day Turkey. They went to Pisidia and Antioch. They went to Lystra. They went to Derbe. All those places where Paul had been and set up churches. And now they came to a point. They came to a point where they were going to go west into Asia. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Something happened. We don't know what. History doesn't recall it. The Bible doesn't tell us. But something happened that the Holy Spirit kept Paul and Silas from traveling west over into Asia. So they started traveling farther north. And it tells us that when they came to the border of Mysia, which is into the northwest, when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, which actually they tried to turn and go northeast. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Again, something happened that stopped them and told them this was not the right way. Instead, they passed by Mysia and they went down, if you look at the map, over to Troas, which is on the northern coast of the Aegean Sea. Now, from Troas, while they were in Troas, there on this coast, the Aegean Sea, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that they discerned that God had called us to preach the gospel in Macedonia. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about what's going on here because it is really amazing what happened at this point. Paul's vision was to go back to the churches and strengthen the believers where he had been. God's vision was, I don't want you to go here, I don't want you to go here. So the Holy Spirit prevented them. God guided them up and over to Troas. Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. Macedonia, this vision represented all the culture, all the intelligence, all the religion, and the achievements of the Greek civilization. Scholars believe this vision possibly could have been Luke himself, because you want to know something? And Troas is where Paul met Luke. And from Luke, we get the Gospel of Luke. Some scholars believe that Paul's problem, why he wasn't going in certain places,
was God was guiding him to a doctor because Paul had an ailment, physical ailment. Some believe the vision was Alexander the Great, who was the military conqueror and the king of Macedonia from 336 to 323 BC. But at any rate, what happened? Paul got to Troas. And if you notice this story in Acts written by Luke up to this point tells about they. It's written in third person. All of a sudden, after Paul had seen the vision, now Luke is with him. We got up from Troas and left for Macedonia. They went over to Philippi, where they established a church and they met Lydia. They went on down to Thessalonica. They went down to Berea. They went down to Corinth. They went to Athens, where Paul preached his famous sermon on Mars Hill. And the gospel in this way, through God's vision, spread to Europe. Rather than stopping here in Asia, God knew what was best in sending Paul to Troas and guiding the message, the gospel of Jesus Christ on throughout all of Europe. And God did it through closed doors, what we call it. Have you ever had times in your life when you think, I'm doing God's will, but things just aren't working out? Maybe it's because God is closing the doors for you. And I want to tell you, my experience has been that when you are doing the will of God, doors will come open. You will not believe how God will provide for you and open doors to allow you to go places and do things that you never imagined that you'd do and where you'd go. God was giving spiritual guidance. And the result of Paul's responding to God's leading was the gospel spread in all of these new places. And churches were established there. You see, sheep cannot see over the ridge to the green valley beyond. Therefore, they need to trust that the shepherd will lead them in paths of rightness and provide for them every day. That's hard sometimes. I'm a testimony of that, and I could tell you stories. We'd be here all day if I did. But people ask me, how do I know if I'm doing what God wants me to do? I say to them, just keep on going. Keep doing what you're doing, and if God doesn't want you doing it, He'll close the doors. If He wants you doing it, He'll open doors, and you'll keep right on going. And the Spirit will be speaking to you along the way in many different ways. Speaking through other people. Speaking through other speakers. Dreams in the night. A lot of my calling, a lot of my guiding by the Holy Spirit were through dreams in the night. I searched God's scriptures out. And sure enough, in Job 33, it tells us that God still speaks to men in dreams and visions of the night when men are in deep sleep. God is guiding us every single day. He's pointing His finger and He's saying, I want you to go here, I want you to go there. I want you to do this, I want you to do that. I want you to go to this person and tell them this. I can't do that, God, I'm scared to death. I want you to go and do it. And you know, we have our own vision and our own fleshly desires of where we think we should go and what we think we should be doing. The Bible tells us, God says, my ways are not your ways. We need to be open to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Test the spirits. Keep on walking on this journey. Keep following the Good Shepherd in His calling and His word in here. And you'll see doors closed, doors opened as He guides us along, and His gospel, His good news will be spread throughout the world through our lives lived down according to the desires of the Spirit rather than the desires of the flesh. It's not an easy thing. It's a journey we're on. We're not all at the same place on the journey. We cannot judge others that are not as far as we are. We need to just keep focusing ahead on the eternal light at the end of the path, following our Good Shepherd who reaches out His hand and leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though we might walk through scary places sometimes, we know that His rod and His staff will comfort us, that He'll protect us. Living according with the Spirit, struggling to do the will of God, always is the journey we're on as Christians.
knowing that we will dwell in His house someday, forever. Let's pray. God, we're pleased to know that we follow in the footsteps of great people like Paul. Your Spirit led Paul, Your Spirit leads us today, that we might do what is in accordance with the Spirit. I pray, God, that You open our ears, our eyes, even our noses, our whole bodies, that our hearts might know and our minds might discern what is truly Your will, and that we might do that which is pleasing to You, and that the gospel of Jesus Christ might be spread to new places in our community and around our world, because we've listened to You. God, when we set out in our days to do what is pleasing in our sight, what we desire, and our days don't go right, speak to us that we might pause for a moment and realize that maybe what we're doing just simply isn't Your will for that day. And then show us Your will. For the glory of Your holy name, we pray in Christ. Amen.